Well, thank you for being here today, and thank you for letting Vicky and me come and share with you and showing up. You know, when you hear my voice over that intercom, you could say, uh-oh, I know that guy, we're not going to come down to that, but you came anyway, so we just really appreciate your coming, and we just ask the Lord on our way over here, Lord, please help us share something that will be encouraging and helpful, and help us to sing to your glory, and we've done that. I love the singing, I tell you every time, but I just think that's my favorite part. Singing praise to the Lord is so sweet and so good and so powerful. Just does something in my heart and in my soul when I start praising Him, doesn't it, you? Yeah, it does. I want us to look at, take a few minutes. We're not going to talk long today, or I'm not going to talk long. We're going to take just a few minutes to look at one small part of a passage of three verses. I'm going to read all three verses. And this passage, I'm telling you in advance, is packed full of stuff. It's going to be hard for me to resist, you know, talking about the whole thing and spending the whole afternoon and just getting started. But we're not going to do that. We're going to focus on one little phrase. But it's a very famous passage in Scripture, and I'm guessing some of you probably memorized it in the past, maybe part of it or maybe all of it. And it's three verses in Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Of chapter 12, and here's what God's Word says. And before we read it, let's pray that God will help us understand it. Father, we're here thanking you for the time of praise you've given us. It's been sweet. It's been awesome. We just love to focus on you and lift our voices to you in praise. And Lord, we also love to look into your Word, so thank you that you've given us this passage in your Word for our encouragement, for our benefit, for to strengthen us, to help us be more like Jesus. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts through this, your holy, powerful, inerrant word, and help us to hear you speaking to us personally as we think about these words together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here are the verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I want to read that part again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, I want you to think about that. I think all of us would agree, I think you would agree quickly, that when Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins, he endured the greatest fiery trial, the greatest fiery test that anyone has ever had to endure. And it was on several levels. Physically speaking, it was horrific. You've probably heard messages preached about how horrible the method of crucifixion was. It was extremely painful. It was excruciating. It lasted for a long time, and the Romans concocted that whole means of killing people, executing people, just to terrify people. It was horrifying, the kind of death that men died on the cross, and Jesus went through that. And that's true, of course, but there's something more that he endured that's really hard for us sinful people to appreciate. But when he went to the cross, Jesus took our sins on himself. Now, he had never, ever had sin on him before, ever. He was God the Son from eternity past, perfectly united with God the Father, no sin, total love, inseparable union between Jesus and God the Father. And when he went to the cross, the Bible says he had never sinned, even to that point. He had lived a perfect life for 30 years here on this earth, never sinning. Went to the cross, and he took our sin. The Bible says he became sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us. He took our sin on himself. And when he did that, It separated him from the Father for a time. And he suffered the wrath that all of us deserve because of our sin. That's what the Bible teaches. And we cannot imagine the pain that that caused Jesus. We just can't. It was horrifying. We can't really put ourselves in his place. There's no way to. He's God. But this verse tells us that even in the midst of all that trial, even in the midst of all that suffering, even in the midst of taking our sin on himself, he endured the cross, and the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. He was looking to the joy that was set before him. And what that means is, even at that horrible time, he didn't lose his perspective, the perspective of eternity. He knew that during the time of his greatest trial, he could look beyond it and realize he was going to make it through, and he was going to be rejoicing with the Father again soon, even though the pain was great. And so Jesus was not only dying on the cross for our sins, but at the same time, he was setting an example for us. And he was saying, look, I'm going through the most fiery trial imaginable. You will never go through anything worse than this. And as I go through it, I'm looking to the joy that's set before me. And you can do the same thing. We need to learn from that example. So the main reason he went to the cross was to pay for our sins. But he also, while he was on the cross, set us a wonderful example of what we're supposed to do when we're going through the hard times, the fiery trials. Because you see, very soon now, very soon, folks, very soon, all of us who are in Christ are going to be part of a glorious resurrection. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to be exchanging these old bodies that are dying, that are wearing out, they're decaying, they're corruptible. We're going to be exchanging them for new bodies. They're not going to die anymore. They're not going to decay anymore. They're going to be incorruptible, eternal. The Bible says glorified bodies. And we're going to be in the presence of Jesus, and we're going to have the privilege of working with him forever and ever and ever. We're going to be with Jesus. And it's going to be incredibly glorious. I can't wait. It's coming. It's going to be sooner than you think. So whatever we're going through now, we've got to keep that perspective. We're going to look at the joy that's set before us. Now, God did something for me to help me keep that perspective. He's enabled me through the years, I'm 67 now, through the years to remember a couple of events from my childhood that are kind of trivial in a way. You look at them and say, that's kind of trivial. And it was. It's very trivial. But God has seen fit to let me remember them, even though on the surface they seem trivial, because he's teaching me a valuable lesson about time and eternity. And I think he's pleased when I share it, so I'm going to share it with you. The first one happened about 1955. Now, if your math is good, that's nearly 60 years ago. Nearly 60 years ago. And I was a 9-year-old boy in Sunday school on Sunday morning in the fall of the year. And it was Promotion Sunday. Now, some of you may remember Promotion Sunday, but every year at the fall of the year, they'd take those of us who were ready to be promoted into another class into that class. So I was being promoted out of the primary class into the junior class. I was 9 years old. So some adults came and took me to the junior class. When I sat down, there were some boys in that class that they took away from that class to take into the intermediate class. They were 13 years old. And somehow the Lord saw fit to cause this memory to stick in my brain. I can remember as a 9-year-old boy sitting down in that class and watching those 13-year-old boys go. And I thought to myself, I'm in here forever. This is the rest of my life. I can't imagine the time between 9 and 13. It might as well have been eternity as far as I was concerned. I was going to be there forever. You know, it's just like, how long? I mean, I'll never be 13. It's what it seemed like at the time. A few years later, I had another experience very similar. It's like deja vu. I had another experience. This time, I was in the 9th grade in high school freshman. And I was at my first high school basketball game. We had a very small gym. There were 3 rows of bleachers. I was sitting down on the first row, down next to the gym floor with another freshman kid. And back behind us, 3 rows up, were some loud senior boys. They were loudmouths. They were making a lot of noise. They were kind of showing off. And I looked back there at those seniors, and I thought, I can't imagine how long it's going to be till I'm that old. It just seemed like forever. It might as well have been eternity as far as I was concerned. I mean, I was just starting high school. They were about ready to finish it. I couldn't imagine that. I just couldn't imagine it. Now, you know where I'm going with this. By now, and of course, just a few years after that, actually, those were just dim memories. They were just little memories that happened to stick in my brain. I didn't know why at the time. I know now because God was teaching me something through that. And now, I'm not even sure I'm remembering the events. I may be remembering memories of memories of memories of those events. I don't know how that works exactly. But it's just a dim memory that happened a long, long time ago. Most of you can probably remember times in your life when you were really excited about something that was going to happen down the road. Maybe it was a vacation you were going to take. Or maybe it was a great, important event and you were all excited about it. And you just couldn't wait, and it seemed like time was moving so slowly. You know, it's never going to get here. It's down there. I want it to get here. Come on. I want to go on vacation. Whatever it is, you were wanting it to get there, and it just seemed like it was never going to get there. And then you know what happened? Suddenly, it came and went. It's gone. And it's gone. It's now just a little dim memory. Probably a lot of those things we've already forgotten. And, of course, this is the way of life itself. This is the way life works for all of us. We get so absorbed, if we're not careful, in the things of this life and the things that are going on around us, the things that are going on in our lives right now, that it's very hard for us to get it into our heads and into our hearts. This is going to be over soon. It's going to be over soon. It may seem long right now, but it's going to be over soon. And when it's over, and the trials, yes, we'll go through some trials, and the pain, yes, we'll go through some pain. And we're going to get through that, and we're going to say, wow, that was fast. That was fast. Where did it go? So fast. Life was gone. And the fiery trials of this life, which God is using, by the way, He's using it. He's using every one of them in our lives to make us more conformed to the image of Jesus. They're going to seem like memories, and maybe memories of memories, and maybe, who knows, when we've been in eternity for a while, they may just fade away completely. We may just never, ever think about those things anymore because it'll be so exciting, the glorious future God's got for us. So we don't lose track of that. Now, having shared that, I want to share a few verses, and then we'll be done, a few verses that God Himself has to say about what I'm talking about here. So listen very carefully. I'm going to read these without comment. I just want you to hear God speak through His Word. Listen. This is James chapter 4. Verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Morning's coming. Listen to this, Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Awesome. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered for a little while, did you hear that? And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory. Do you hear that? Who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. One more verse, Revelation 21:4. And He, Jesus, shall wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And Father, how we thank you and praise you for your powerful word. Thank you for revealing to us just a glimpse of the future you have for us. And thank you for giving us life experiences to remind us that this is fast, that it's fleeting, and that whatever suffering we're going through, whatever trials we're going through, Lord, thank you that you have told us they are going to end and end quickly. And Lord, we thank you the day is coming when we'll look back and we'll be amazed how fast it all went by. And we will be with you in eternity, all of us who know Jesus. Father, I'm not sure. There may be somebody in this room who's never trusted Jesus. And I know they could do that right now while I'm praying. They could just say, Lord Jesus, I'm willing to trust you. I want you to be Lord of my life. I'm sorry for my sin. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And Father, I know if somebody's praying a prayer like that, you're doing that. And they're saved too. And they're part of your family. And Lord, thank you that one of the wonderful joys and privileges of being part of your family and having our sins forgiven in Jesus is that we have an eternity with you of great joy and great excitement and great glory. And Lord, we don't know all the things you've got prepared, but we know it's good. And we thank you for being such an awesome God, and we praise you and we love you, and you're just amazing. So help all of us here to keep your perspective on these things and to not get weary in well-doing and not faint and not quit, but just keep our eyes on you until you finally get us to that wonderful, glorious place with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.